Today's episode is dedicated to every Nigerian citizen out there. Despite how bleak and unbecoming the economy is, you people held on to hope. And these are my words to you. We are getting bigger. We are not stopping anytime soon. This is the only country we can ever have. This is the only country we can ever lay hold to. This is the only country we can say we own. Today's episode, House of Industry, a teaching on the Nigerian economic climate, is more of a discussion on the profile of Nigeria economically. We may not touch on the political landscape, but one thing that is definite is that you cannot separate economics from politics. Economics and politics go hand in hand. We may talk about the leadership of Nigeria as we go on. What inspired today's episode is the Nigerian Industrial Revolution Plan, which I came across. Let's get down to today's business. History shows that no country has ever become rich by exporting raw materials without also having an industrial sector and, in modern time, an advanced service sector. The more a country specializes in the production of raw materials only, the poorer it becomes. Yeah, I know there's been these statistics with regards to the economic growth of Nigeria. There's also the GDP figure, the gross national product, the gross national income. But I believe that this would be a good introduction to differentiate between what economic growth is and economic development. Economic growth is simply production increase or income per capita. That means an increase in GNP or an increase in GNI, gross national income. You can differentiate economic growth from economic development by including how well distributed is this output and also what is the structure of the economic growth. A country said to be economically developed, there ought to be increase in industry and services share of the gross national product. The share contributed by the extractive industry and agricultural sector has to decline. There has to be an increase in education and skill of the labor force. There has to be also technical advance originating from the country. Over time, I've listened to men like Alhaji Aliko Dangote. I've listened to men like Chief Innocent Chukwuma of Innocent Vehicle Manufacturing. These are men that have inspired this episode. There's been a GDP figure of about 270 billion. We have a GNI per capita of about $1,290. Still, we have families that live on less than a dollar per day. But this is our GNI, $1,290. Our population is about 200 million, though there have not been a census in recent time. So this is like a brief profile of the country. The essence of this is for investors to understand our economic climate in order to be informed to the extent of making good investment decisions. I see a lot of Nigerians in the diaspora focusing more on the real estate sector, forgetting that there are other sectors which really make real estate to thrive. The two things that will make your investment in real estate thrive is urbanization, and urbanization is driven by what? Infrastructural development and population. Like in Lagos now, Lagos has 1/3 of the population of Nigeria, meaning you have more persons living in Lagos than in any other place in Nigeria. And this is as a result of the economic opportunities that people have seen Lagos offers. And basically, it's because of how we've utilized the coastline of Lagos. The Yonne axis is not really doing as much as the Lagos axis. The economy is basically the interaction between production and consumption. The interaction between production and consumption. At every scenario, you are either a producer or a consumer. And then we have the government that tends to enhance economic activities by providing public goods, who then tax the benefactors of these public goods. Incidence on taxation knows how to balance this out. So one thing I would want you that is listening to this to understand is that there are several activities in an economy. We have the primary industry, we have the secondary, and we also have tertiary industries. The primary industry is meant to support the secondary, and the secondary provide the platform for the tertiary. So there will be no service-based economy if the secondary is not working. When we talk about primary activities, we are referring to the agricultural sector, the extractive sector for where you extract raw material from the ground. Then when we move to the secondary, we're talking about activities that add value to the extent that finished products get to the consumer. Then the tertiary are what enable secondary to perform. Things like the transport industry, things like advertising sector, healthcare, and then we have services that help business to thrive, like the banking sector. We also have agents, middlemen in between. So I may go ahead to be talking about, to be referring to manufacturing, but when I keep mentioning the word manufacturing, you should know that I'm talking about value addition as a whole. Now let me give a scenario. Applications fall under the service aspect of an economy, and without the secondary, without the industries, applications will be useless. Most applications get their money from the fact that businesses advertise on their platform. Biggest revenue for Facebook comes from advertising. YouTube, mention any application, mention any website you want to think about, their biggest market comes from advertising revenues. The fact that we all are running to the service sector doesn't make sense. We are leaving the secondary, we are leaving manufacturing, we are leaving industries. And without these industries, our services will not thrive. That is why we have a mismatch of labor. It seems everybody, the school prepares everybody for the service sector and forgets that this service sector is meant to serve the manufacturing sector. Until we start manufacturing, our balance of trade wouldn't make any sense. Close to 90% of Nigeria's export is raw material. We hardly export finished goods, and that is why our currency keeps depreciating. Until we get our primary and our secondary right, we will not have enough foreign reserve to balance out international trade that puts us at par with developed economies. I would like to do a SWOT analysis. That is how I'm going to present the Nigerian economy in this episode. If you remember my introductory statement, no nation has prospered by exporting raw materials. No nation has prospered by trading in just raw materials. But now, one of the strengths of Nigeria is that we have abundant raw materials. We have about 44 solid minerals in Nigeria, and still counting. The primary sector can provide enough resources for secondary activities to flourish. Means if you set up a cement industry, you have enough limestone to work. Our sharp sand is next to none. Our gold reserve, our petroleum reserve. I can't give the current statistics of our position in terms of gas reserve, but the last time I checked, it was about 7th largest globally, our gas reserve. While we have about 37 billion barrels, which as at the last time I checked, we were the 10th largest in the world in terms of crude oil reserve. We have about 923 million square meters of arable land, which is good for agriculture. Anywhere in Nigeria can be used for agricultural purposes. We have the population. Even if we just produce for local consumption, our 200 million people can consume what we are producing. That is one of our strengths. We have a very large market. We are the most populous in Africa. We are strategically located for international trade. The reason for poverty in Africa is because more than 50% of Africa is landlocked. They don't have access to the sea for international trade. And one thing that enables international trade is having a coastline, having access to the Atlantic Ocean. And Nigeria is well positioned in the Gulf of Guinea. And you can access Europe, you can access the United States easily, which offer a market for the products we'll be producing in Nigeria. We have abundant labor in Nigeria. We have over 69 million persons in our labor force, which is the 9th largest in the world. We are well positioned in the political climate of Africa. We belong to the different African community, bilateral trade in Africa. We can trade with countries within the ECOWAS region. But we have several weaknesses. Infrastructure is one of our weakness. I still fought the fact that subsidy was removed from diesel, which is one of the major raw materials for our manufacturing sector. You didn't provide an alternative power supply and you're removing subsidy from diesel. There's unaffordable finance. Let's use real estate for instance. You can approach a mortgage bank in other climb and easily get a single digit interest rate for a long duration, but it's not so in Nigeria. Accessing finance is crazy. We have inconsistency in our policy. We have few institutions with the drive to industrialize the country. If you remember when I talked about one of the characteristics of economic development, we talked about the education and skill of the labor force. We have low industrial skill and our innovation is poor. Technical advances originating from within the country is poor. And like Chief Chukwuma Innocent said, transfer of technology is expensive. No country will transfer their technology to you without you paying big for it. So globalization, though it has its advantages, but it has its toll on third world nations, because third world nations can't compete favorably with the Western economy, which are light years ahead of us. More than 60% of the Nigerian population is said to be marginally poor. Despite we have a population size that can consume the product we are producing, the purchasing power parity is poor. I don't think we have issues with we wanting made in Nigerian product as it stands now. I can say that was an issue of the past, but now I believe that Nigerians will patronize made in Nigerian product. US industries are moving their factories from China because the cost for labor in China now seems to have gone up. They are more specialized now. They don't charge what they usually charge before because they are more skilled now. Western economy are moving to India, they are moving to Vietnam, Bangladesh, and these people are positioning themselves to offer this. What are the opportunities which Africa and Nigeria offers? You have the potential to be number one in Africa and top 10 globally in many industrial sectors in Nigeria by positioning in Nigeria. You can build your factories using a labor intensive approach. You can produce locally for the Nigerian population. We can become the manufacturing hub for ECOWAS and Africa. The only economy next to us is Angola and South Africa. More than 70% of our revenue comes from oil, and this threatens our economy. Much of the problems that have happened in the globe came from the international oil market. At the moment, it seems like there's a boom because of the sanction on Russia because of their act of terrorism against Ukraine. So it seems there's low supply, and that embargo is about to be broken by several countries. Like there was a gas crisis in the UK, and this was because they wouldn't buy from Russia. And they didn't have enough within. One of those threats is that we need to diversify away from oil. I know, yes, there are countries that are already well positioned and they seem to be threats to us industrializing, but it doesn't matter. We can have policies that will see to it that our industries thrive. I don't know if I've really done justice to this. I don't know if I was coordinated with talking about House of Industry. Having a portfolio that is focused on real estate is not really being wise. And you should know that real estate, to an extent, is in the service sector of the economy, the tertiary sector. And industries have to thrive. People have to have jobs to patronize your investments. I'm not saying there was going to be a bust, but if we don't fix our industrial sector, you may have empty houses going forward. Much of the tech companies are moving to Ghana because it affords them the infrastructure they need. No tech guy wants to spend his time in traffic going to work. FDI is moving to Ghana. Expatriates that most times patronize luxury apartments are moving out. So with time, you may find out that the void rates in terms of properties will go up. the major drivers, economic survival, employment, needs to be worked on. The purchasing power of a typical Nigerian citizen needs to go up for they to be able to patronize the real estate market and other services like healthcare. Because until the essentials are met, the periphery wouldn't go. Let's diversify our investment portfolio. Let's work towards industrializing Nigeria. It's not just about real estate. You may say it's expensive to start, but you can start small scale. Foodpreneurs are cashing out. Food entrepreneurship is one of the biggest source of forex now in Nigeria, because we have almost all of us abroad and we want Nigerian made food. I rest my case there. Thanks for listening.